And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of The Awakening here on American Family Radio. And it is my honor to be your host today, Bishop E.W. Jackson. God bless each and every one of you. And thank you so much for tuning in and listening. And thank you for your support for American Family Radio, American Family Association, and frankly, our family of ministries and related. Please continue to pray for us. As I've said many times before, I become increasingly more convicted about the importance of this network and the importance of the communications being put out by American Family Association and American Family Radio, because the situation, the lies, the propaganda, the demagoguery has become so much more intense that the few places where you can get honest, forthright, unapologetic, undiluted truth are fewer and fewer far between. Sadly, even some Christian outlets, because they're afraid of the controversy, they're afraid of what people will say about them, shy away from allowing a full-throated discussion of the issues of the day and the full-throated Christian expression of where the Word of God stands on those issues. Not just where you and I stand, but where the Word of God stands. And presumably, we are standing with the Word of God. So continue to pray for us and continue to support us. We appreciate it so very much. And we're going to continue to endeavor to do the will of God and to represent the values that we know God is pleased with. And again, that's not based upon our own whims or fancies, but based upon what the Word of God actually tells us about these issues. I've often said, I don't have an opinion on some of these issues. I have the Word of God. It speaks with final authority to me, and therefore, I don't have the option of an opinion. What I have is the truth, and I've got to stand on the truth. And thank you all for standing with us. Well, look, with that little preamble out of the way, two things that I want to get into today. I'm chagrined, okay, by the fact that the mainstream media particularly, they never even acknowledge it. They don't even acknowledge it. And with all due respect, we've turned Juneteenth into a federal holiday, not we, because that would not have been my choice, because I think it's pretty certainly, if Texas wants to celebrate it, God bless them. I think it is maybe an important celebration for people in Texas or for Texan history. But it is not a national holiday, in my view, because it does not represent something that the entire country was affected by. But the passage of the Constitution is. And the whole country pretty much ignores it. It just doesn't make a bit of sense to me. It really doesn't make a bit of sense to me. We take something that is really regional, and frankly deals with a certain aspect of our culture only that may or may not be relevant to some people. So for example, I mean, me personally, I don't believe Juneteenth speaks to me personally because I'm not from Texas. And when I look at the end of slavery, I look at April the 9th, 1865, which was when Robert E. Lee officially surrendered, when the war officially ended. I look at, I forget the exact date in December, when the 13th and 14th Amendments were ratified. Okay, I look at things that I know affect the entire country and change, if you will, the not only the legal landscape, but really changed the cultural landscape of the entire country. With all due respect to what some people think, I mean, the Emancipation Proclamation, we know, while it was a tremendous symbolic gesture, and I commend Abraham Lincoln for it, it didn't change anything, because the reality is that the Confederate states that were not under the President Lincoln at that time, it meant nothing to them. They didn't have to obey it because they were at war with the United States of America, and certainly at war with Abraham Lincoln and his administration. In fact, it didn't even apply to, as you all know, if my memory serves me correctly, it didn't apply to Maryland or Kentucky, and I think Delaware. I think those are the three states that it didn't apply to, because those were considered to be Southern states that sided with the Union, and therefore the Emancipation Proclamation exempted them. Now, people would say, well, that's a bit of hypocrisy. Well, frankly, it was. But it was political expediency, because Abraham Lincoln did not want to give those states an opportunity, or a reason, if you will, to bolt, a reason to leave the Union. And so he exempted them from it. So, it was a wonderful symbolic gesture insofar as that goes, but it didn't really change anything. Now, if you were a slave in the South, and the Union came into your area, Union Army came into your area, as a practical matter, it meant that if you could escape to the Union Army, the Emancipation Proclamation would apply to you insofar as the Union Army would protect your freedom from that point on, and you just stay with them until the end of the war, or they get you out and get you to a northern state, then yeah, that it had that practical effect. But if the Union Army wasn't there, the Emancipation Proclamation meant nothing if you were living in a Confederate state. So, and I'm not saying that the Emancipation Proclamation is unimportant, but what I'm saying is we need to celebrate those things that apply to the whole country and that unify us. To me, if we were going to add another federal holiday, and I don't think we need to do that, by the way, I think we've got enough of them now, September 17th would be it. So that the whole country would say, Constitution Day, man, wow, how blessed we are to live under a wonderful Constitution that secures the blessings of liberty for us. At any rate, so my organization, Staying True to America's National Destiny, has declared September to be Celebrate American History Month, because Constitution Day was really the central day that we thought we'd build that month around. But it's an entire month in which I'm preaching sermons that have to do with history and have to do with American history. As a matter of fact, my next sermon, I've preached three already, Christ in History, Your History in Christ. And then my last sermon was to be a covenant nation. And next I'm going to be talking about a constitutional republic. I'm going to be talking about the biblical basis for America as a constitutional republic, because I want Christians to understand why our history as a nation matters. And one of the things I said in the sermon is that you and I, as Americans, I can get emotional talking about this, but you and I as Americans, I don't care what the color of your skin is. I don't care where your ancestors came from. If you are an American, it is part of your legacy just as much as your biological and genetic and ancestral legacy are part of who you are part of, sort of allowing you to be the person you are, the way you look, the way you talk, the way, whatever. But our spiritual and cultural legacy is just as important. I say, your ancestors and my ancestors might not have been on the Mayflower, but our ancestry goes back to the Mayflower, because we are spiritually and culturally connected to it. God has done that for us. I am more spiritually and culturally connected to the Mayflower and the Mayflower Compact than I am to any African tribe any of my ancestors may have come from, because I know nothing about it and it does not inform my life at all. The Mayflower Compact does inform me. It does help me to understand my place in the world as an American. It does help me to understand the importance of liberty. And so does the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States and the Bill of Rights and the Federalist Papers and so on and so forth are just as much a part of every American's legacy as is their genetic, biological, national, ancestral origin. So again, whether your ancestors came from Ireland or they came from Italy or they came from Asia or they came from the Middle East or they came from, and I don't mean to leave anybody out, or they came from South America or they came from Africa or wherever they came from, or India or China, wherever they came from. As an American, you now connect to the legacy of this nation's history. And the Constitution, obviously, is a central part of that. So I hope you'll take a moment. I would just encourage you all to talk to your children about the Constitution. You know, I had an incident, and I really want to get to, I didn't mean to launch into this and take as much time as I'm taking. I wanted to do this at the end, but I'll do it now since I've started. My wife and I have a Christian school called the Maximum Potential Christian Academy. We started this school now. We're on the fifth year of the school now. Our vision is K-12. We're now doing K-5, but our vision is to go to K-12. But the mission of the school is to help our students become effective disciples of Jesus Christ, people educated in all of the essential disciplines that they can read and write well, that they can do mathematics, they understand science, and that they understand American history. But here's the third part of it, that they understand their role as citizens of a free people, of a free nation. I was teaching, we had started the school. Well, maybe we hadn't started the school, but I have a curriculum called The Power of Personal Culture that was designed really primarily for young people. But the premise is that you can look at the culture around you and you can determine what you will accept and what you will not accept, what you should embrace and what you should not embrace. Most people are not really conscious of the fact that they imbibe things in the culture that are not very good. And I was teaching these young people to parse and decide and choose. You know what? I know a lot of people are doing that, but that's not good. And I'm not going to do that. A lot of people are thinking and talking this way, but that's not good. I'm not going to think and talk that way. So that you don't have to accept everything the culture tries to press upon you, which is sadly what our young people are primarily doing, just accepting whatever the culture throws at them, whatever comes through the internet, whatever comes through TikTok, whatever comes through their friends. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's saying it. And so I was teaching this and we got into a discussion about visiting outside the United States of America. And these are kids about 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, right? And one of them mentioned, you know, that they wanted to go to Paris and visit Paris in France. And so, you know, we just spent a couple of times. I said, well, that would be great. I said, I'd like to do that myself. I haven't been to France. I said, but I'd like to. I said, but remember, you would be a visitor. You're not a citizen there. You're a citizen of the United States of America. And one of the kids looked me right in the eye and said to me, what's a citizen? Now, folks, I was convicted by that. I think that was just before we started the school. I was convicted because I thought, what in the world? And these kids, of course, were going to government schools. What in the world is going on that we're not teaching children by the time they are in sixth, seventh grade that what it means to be a citizen of the United States of America? Well, our school is going to do that. So I said all that by way of saying, Talk to your children about American citizenship. Talk to your children about being a constitutional republic. Talk to your children about our rights and liberties coming from Almighty God, not from the government. Talk to your children about it, what it means to be a free people and to be governed by our servants whom we choose, not masters and rulers who dictate to us. They need to know that and understand that in an early age and get that in them, because frankly, these government schools and a lot of these colleges and universities are teaching people to be slaves. They're teaching them that the government can do anything, and whatever the government wants to do, it can do, and whatever the government imposes upon us, we're just duty-bound to accept, and that's that. But that's not the legacy of our nation. The legacy of our nation is that our government operates with the consent of the governed. That's very different than what the left is trying to impose upon us, which is another form of monarchy, really, except monarchy by the consensus of the elitists who then impose upon you their perverse, warped worldview and basically demand that you accept it at the threat of punishment. And that punishment can be losing your job or suffering the loss of reputation, or once it gets fully into power the way it wants, that loss can mean putting you in jail, as they've tried to do to Donald Trump and others who have not towed the Marxist socialist line and have dared to speak up. So happy Constitution Day, belated anyway, and I hope that you will be thinking about that and talking about that to your family, you men and women, but you fathers and mothers. Make it a part of your family life. Do something with it. Say, hey, today is Constitution Day. You know what that means? And you know, your kids will probably look at you and say, no, I have any idea what that means. So, but at whatever level they're at, you can share with them what that means. Okay. All right. Well, having gotten that out of the way, I've reversed this a little bit in how I intended to talk about it. By the way, if you want to find out more about Constitution Day and you are about the Constitution itself, and we also have on our website, standamerica.us, you can take an oath to the Constitution. You can take a voluntary oath to the Constitution of the United States, which we call the Citizen's Oath. Because we created that, was thinking that I took that oath as a Marine Corps when I enlisted in the Marine Corps, and took that oath one other time when I served in briefly in a government position in Massachusetts. But most Americans had never taken an oath to the Constitution. New citizens, naturalized citizens, excuse me, naturalized citizens have to take it, but most Americans do not. So I'd encourage you to go to our website. You can just go, I forget what section, but it won't be hard to find. I think it's in the Get Involved section where you can take the oath. And it's frameable. We'll sign it. You can print it out yourself and frame it. Put it somewhere in your home to say, I took an oath to the Constitution of the United States as an American citizen. Okay. Let's talk about the 800-pound gorilla in the room, which is the second assassination attempt on President Donald Trump. Now, folks, this is a terrible, terrible thing to have to talk about. That within a few weeks, we have not one, but two assassination attempts on a former president and now candidate for president of the United States. Now, first, let me just say, not for you, but for the broader audience that might at any point see this, hear this, I told you so. I told you so. Look, In 2021, Eric Swalwell, the degenerate, treasonous, traitorous man who was having an illicit sexual relationship with a Chinese spy, had the nerve to denounce Donald Trump and say that Donald Trump is the equivalent of, or should be likened to, Osama bin Laden. Now that was on top of all the comparisons to Adolf Hitler. And I was on the radio daily at that point, and some of you may remember me saying it. I said, and I'll say it now, to refresh everybody's recollection, I said, what message are you conveying when you compare Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler and to Osama bin Laden? Because what did we do to Osama bin Laden? We killed him. And does any American regret that? Does any American say, oh, gee, that was not a good thing to do? As a Bible-believing Christian, full of the love of God, I can say without any twinge of conscience, it was the right thing to do. He deserved it, and we needed to do it. And our SEAL Team 6 took him out. God bless them. Good for them. The man killed close to 3,000 Americans on 911, and not to mention the numbers he got killed in other circumstances around the world as Al-Qaeda continued to take terrorist actions all over the globe. Primarily focused on Americans, by the way. Sometimes somebody ought to take a tally of how many Americans he was actually responsible for killing, because it was a whole lot more than 3,000. And we took him out. When you compare President Donald Trump, who has never hurt an American, never killed an American, has no intention of harming the American people. In fact, I can say without any equivocation, I believe that Donald Trump loves this country, loves the American people, and wants to do us good. Now, is he perfect? Absolutely not. We all know his flaws all too well. But this man served 4 years as president of the United States, and I really believe that his record speaks for itself. I didn't say rhetoric, I said record. Okay? His record. And to liken him to a bloodthirsty, terroristic, godless, demon-possessed man who essentially gave his life to killing other people is preposterous, first of all. But you can't tell me that Eric Swalwell or Nancy Pelosi or any of these idiots who likened Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler or Osama bin Laden, or he's a threat to our democracy, as espoused by Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and all of them, that you can't tell me that they don't understand when you put that kind of rhetoric out there, you are saying to people, he deserves to die. And now what they really should be doing at this point is saying, you know what? We apologize for that rhetoric, and we want to set the record straight now. That's over the top, kind of got a little beside ourselves, but we realize we should never talk that way about any candidate. I mean, a lot of the American people support him. We don't agree with him, but they do. But you know what? They won't say it. Now, here's where it gets dicey, and I'm going to say what probably no one else, certainly no one in the mainstream media will say, but I am going to say it because it needs to be said. The reason they say these things is in their heart of hearts, they want someone to kill Donald Trump. Now, come on, folks, let's stop kidding ourselves. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And they've spoken. you know that right after the second assassination attempt, Hakeem Jeffries, who is the minority leader in the House, put out a tweet that said, Donald Trump, the MAGA extremists, we must stop them. Right after the assassination attempt, the second, we must stop them. Now, what are you saying? Now, those of you who have listened to me for a while, you know, I have said many times, you know, we got to stop these socialists. We got to stop these Marxists. We got to stop these people who really want to fundamentally transform our country and make us basically a slave state and create a one party state in which they basically have complete hegemony, which they essentially dictate. Everything they say about Donald Trump wanting to be a dictator, they're projecting. They're the ones who want that because they think they know best for everybody and they want to impose their will on everybody. Now, I have said many, many times, but we want to defeat them at the ballot box. I am not in any way encouraging violence against anybody. We will beat them on the high road of moral excellence. And I say that because I don't want some nutcase who's listening to me. I heard Bishop E.W. Jackson, he's a minister, he's a Christian, and he said, yeah, we ought to go out there and kill somebody. I want there to be no misunderstanding ever about what I am espousing. I don't want to say, well, you know, we got to stop these leftists. Wink, wink, nod, nod. You know what that means, everybody. Well, do whatever you need to do. Now, folks, again, I'm not claiming the mantle of genius. I'm not the dumbest guy on earth. but I'm smart enough to know that my words could be misinterpreted if I am not cautious to make sure that everyone understands from my explicit statements that I am never in any way inciting violence. Now, why do you think they don't do that? I feel just as strongly against them, I'm sure, as they feel against Donald Trump, but I don't ever leave it with any doubt what I mean, what I'm talking about. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought under obedience to Jesus Christ. What's that thing? That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Bringing every thought under obedience to Jesus Christ. Not carnal, not bullets and bombs, but ballots and persuasion. But why do you think after somebody compares Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler or compares Donald Trump to Osama bin Laden, they don't then say, no, but wait a minute, folks, let's be clear about something now. We really think he's bad, but we're not talking about violence against anybody or harming anybody. We're talking about persuading the American people not to vote for him and beating them at the ballot box. They don't, you notice you never hear those disclaimers. You know why? Because they want somebody to hurt him. They want somebody to kill him. They want somebody to do him harm. In their heart of hearts, that's what they really think. Oh, after something like this, you know, you'll hear the little fake, oh, yeah, well, we're glad he's okay. Oh, please. And then go right back to the same thing. Well, he is a threat to our democracy. Folks, I want to pray for our country before I end the program, but let me say this. We have all got to be praying for President Donald Trump. I just got off of a call the other day with Jason Rayford, who is the head of the National Association of Christian Lawmakers, a prayer call that they have every Tuesday. Him and myself and Janet Porter and a bunch of others got together to pray for our country and to pray for Donald Trump. You know, this is what God spoke to me after the first assassination attempt. Now, hear me well, folks, because I really believe this is right off the Holy Ghost presses. God said to me, in the same way that I miraculously saved Donald Trump from the assassin's bullet, I will miraculously save this nation from the socialist efforts to destroy it. That's what the Lord spoke to my heart. We need divine intervention. Politics is important and we must be involved, obviously. I wouldn't be on this program commenting about this if I didn't believe it was important, if I didn't believe God calls us to do this, to be stewards of this wonderful nation he's given us. But we know that we are ultimately in a spiritual battle. It's got to be both and. We've got to be deeply involved in the political life of our country, but we've also got to be spiritually marshaling all the forces of heaven in our behalf. We've got to let God know, folks, that we are desperately dependent upon him. Desperately dependent upon him. That we know that faith without works is dead, and we're certainly going to do everything in our power to save this nation from the Sodom and Gomorrah forces that want to destroy it, want to turn it into a God-forsaken land. But we also understand that without God's help, without God's intervention, that seek to build a house without God, they labor in vain. Unless the Lord keep the city, they labor in vain. Unless the Lord build the city, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord watch the city, they stay awake in vain. It's a psalm. That unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build them. Unless the Lord watch the city, the guardsmen stay awake in vain. We've got to be just as my pastor used to say it this way. We've got to pray like everything depends on God, and then we've got to work like everything depends on us. It's got to be both and. We are in a spiritual battle. And so we need to pray for an angelic protection around Donald Trump, for the protection of all, for supernatural protection. Because you know that old stupid saying, well, three's the charm? Two assassination attempts. And by the way, I am not here espousing any kind of conspiracy theory about, well, you know, they got together in a room and I'm not saying that didn't happen. I don't know that it happened. But you all have heard me say also many times, you don't need a conspiracy when you've got everybody thinking the same way. You got everybody singing from the same, forgive me, hymn book, if you will. In the same page in the hymn book. You don't need a conspiracy. If you're running around the country talking about he's Adolf Hitler, he's Osama bin Laden, he's a threat to our democracy, you don't need to sit in a room and conspire about how to kill him. You just keep pumping that stupid, wicked, twisted rhetoric out there until it finally catches somebody who's got the mental instability or the wickedness in his heart that they said, well, you know what? They're right. That's what's needed. I'll be the one to do it. We need to, this just simply underscores the fact that we are in a spiritual battle and that we need to ask for God's divine intervention. We need to ask God to just bring confusion into the ranks of the enemy. And when I say the enemy, I mean Satan first and foremost, but I mean all those people who've decided to put their hand in his hand and walk with him. Because Satan is our enemy, but anybody who's going to walk with Satan is our enemy. Now, we pray that they will repent and turn around. We don't pray for Satan, but we pray for people that they will repent and turn around. But in the meantime, we've got to pray for their defeat so that they don't lead the whole country off the cliff into the abyss. Now, let me just add this for your thinking. In addition to these two domestic efforts that we've now seen by two American citizens, and we'll find out more about this latest one, and we'll probably know more, but even by the time you hear this, because the news is coming in kind of, you know, hour by hour, day by day, on who this guy was, and once again, we're finding out that there was some foreknowledge of what this guy had intended to do. How in the world did he end up on the perimeter of the golf course that Donald Trump was playing on? And if it was a last-minute decision to play, how in the world did he know he would be there, if he did? And there's some questions here that need to be answered, just like the first time. We cannot depend upon the Secret Service to defend Donald Trump or to protect him. We can't. Now, they should, again, thank God for those Secret Service agents that are diligent. Probably some of them are godly. But the agency itself, I am convinced, folks, just like the FBI and the CIA, they have become corrupted by these deep state people who are more committed to their own socialist, Marxist, anti-American agenda than they are to doing their duty under the sworn oath that they took to the Constitution of the United States. Now, I know, folks, that's harsh, but it's absolutely true. And you look, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. You just see how they behave. I mean, on the first assassination attempt, how in the world do you not have a roof with a line of sight to the former president of the United States not covered? And then the first explanation you get is, we didn't put Secret Service agents up there because the roof is sloped and it would have been hazardous. What? This is your explanation for people who are required to jump in front of a bullet, and you're saying that perching on a sloped roof is somehow too dangerous? Oh, by the way, a roof sloped, the experts tell us, by 10 degrees. Whoa, boy, that was really dangerous. The guy who shot President Trump didn't have any problem being up there, but that was a little bit too much for Secret Service agents. We couldn't put them up there. I mean, is that just gross incompetence? Or is it just a very stupid attempt to cover your own rear end? Or is there some level in which you're saying, some sense in which you're saying, Donald Trump's just not that important? In fact, if somebody kills Donald Trump, so be it. I mean, folks, yeah, it's ugly, but how can we not go there? Because the evidence leaves you in a quandary as to explain this. And I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that there are forces at work in the deep state, and they are at work in the CIA. Remember, all these people who signed this letter saying that the Hunter Biden laptop is Russian disinformation. There was absolutely no evidence of that whatsoever. But why did they do it? Because they were against Donald Trump, and they thought if this will help sink Donald Trump, let's just say it. And you can't tell me that there aren't people in some of these agencies, including the Secret Service and for that matter, probably every agency of the government at this point, who kind of say, well, if Donald Trump gets killed, in the end, it's a benefit to the nation. So if turning a blind eye here and there helps to facilitate that, I can still say, hey, my hands are clean. I didn't do anything wrong. And the job gets done and we all move on. Folks, you have to wonder, don't you? I mean, and remember, Iran, apparently we have foiled a plot that Iran was hatching to try to kill Donald Trump. And whatever plots Iran is engaged in, they can do with far greater alacrity and energy and financing, because the Biden administration has released billions of dollars to Iran in order to carry out what we know are their terroristic intentions against Americans and Jews primarily around the world. Thank you, Joe Biden. We appreciate that. You know, I have said somewhat tongue-in-cheek that the cartels ought to be sending Biden a royalty check, because he's enriched them so greatly. They're worth billions of dollars more than they were when he took office, as a result of the fact that they are now able to engage in a full-blown industry of human trafficking because of the open border system that Joe Biden has created. Yeah, I call it a system, because it really is a system of open borders now. A system of opening the country up to invasion, which is exactly what we've got. Heard about these Venezuelan gangs taking over whole apartment buildings, terrorizing other Venezuelans, setting up shop in our country. In fact, one guy was encouraging people, another illegal alien, encouraging people, because I don't even call them immigrants now. That come on, they're not immigrants. They're invaders. Encouraging people how to break the law to get into our country. They can't deport him because Venezuela doesn't want him back. Oh, so we poor Americans, we're just at a loss. We can't send him back to Venezuela. They don't want him. So he gets to stay in our country and foment all kinds of havoc. Now they're having their own protests because we're not giving them enough. That's where we are. And we've just got to pray. I'm out of time, but we have got to pray. And I want to close out leading us in prayer. Pray for Donald Trump, for his family. Obviously, pray for our country. We need to pray for these other people too, that they would awaken and repent from their wickedness and their sin and their venality and their egomania. And we got to pray that God will give us leadership, not only in the White House, but in both houses of Congress, that will allow our country to thrive and prosper in the only way it can, as a nation whose God is the Lord. Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, we are all in some ways in shock, although perhaps we shouldn't be, that we have just witnessed a second assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump. Lord, most presidents go through without ever having anything near the close calls of being shot. And Donald Trump was shot the first time. Thankfully, only in his ear grazed, but he was shot. This time, there was someone lurking for 12 hours waiting to get him in his sights, so that he could kill the former president. Most presidents, Lord, never come close the first time. He's now had close calls twice within a matter of weeks. So, Lord, we pray for your divine protection around him. We pray for your protection around his wife, his family, and his staff, and all of those around him, Lord God. And then, Father God, we do pray for Secret Service agents who guard him to be more vigilant than they've ever been. And even though the deep state may not provide him with the resources that he needs, Lord God, make provision. If it has to be an enhancement by private security, make provision for his protection in an earthly and natural way. And then, Lord, let your angels just guard him day and night. Lord, you said in Psalm 91, you would give your angels charge of us to keep us in all their ways. in all our ways. They would bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our feet against a stone. Lord God, we claim that promise for President Trump and for his family and staff and those around him. And then, Father God, we pray for those people who oppose themselves, oppose you, oppose our Constitution, that they would have a change of heart, that they would repent of their sin, that they would repent of their desire to kill unborn babies, of their desire to remake gender in their own wicked and perverse image, and start telling children even that they were born in the wrong body and they've got to change that, Lord, which we know is nothing but rank rebellion against the natural order of Almighty God. That's all it is. They're doing the work of the devil, who hates everything you've done and everything you've created because he hates you. And they're doing his bidding by trying to dismantle your natural order, let alone your moral order, Lord. They don't want your natural order either. From their perspective, the climate is about to destroy us all because you didn't know what you were doing when you created the world and made it a homeostatic object that was capable of healing itself and capable of correcting itself. They don't believe that either. So they've got to tax us and regulate us and control us so that they can save the planet. Well, Lord, likewise, they got to correct human beings because, after all, they were born in the wrong body. They're supposed to be a girl. They were born a boy, or vice versa. And they're going to correct it with hormones and operations and surgery. And, of course, then they've determined that there are some babies that, Lord, you formed us in our mother's womb according to your word. There are some babies that don't deserve to live, and they're going to take care of that by seeing to it that they're killed in their mother's wombs. Well, this is just pure wickedness, and we come against it in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to remember that righteousness exalts a nation, that sin is a reproach to any people. Help us to remember that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And Father God, we do pray for the defeat of this Marxist, socialist, communist ticket that is trying to take control of this country. Kamala Harris, raised by a communist, raised by communists. Tim Walz, who seems to be much more enamored of the Chinese Communist Party than he is of the American constitutional system. Lord, we really believe that Donald Trump, while far from perfect, loves this country, loves the Constitution of the United States, respects and honors it, and wants to do good for the American people. And Father God, we do pray that he will draw closer to you, that his relationship with you would deepen, and that he would see his identity first and foremost as a disciple of Jesus Christ, not as a billionaire, not as a politician, but as a disciple of Jesus Christ, and would govern this country according to the Judeo-Christian principles upon which it was founded. And Father God, we pray that America's future would lie in this truth: blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and that we would fulfill America's national destiny by seeking to adhere to that truth and to frame our country's culture and laws according to your word. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for the liberty that we have had, for the opportunity that we've had, for the hope that we've had through this great country you've given us. We are grateful for what you've given us, but Lord, we pray that we will preserve what you've given us rather than having the devil take it away from us. Now, we believe you for victory because you said you always cause us to triumph in Christ Jesus. And we thank you and praise you for that victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, folks, you know what to do. Until next week here on The Awakening, and every day of our lives, every week, every month, every year, stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. because we are on God's side.